Hey, what's up, players? WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long. I just want to endorse some of my brothers that are doing an outstanding job of podcast. I'm talking about the First Black Champ podcast, one of the greatest podcasts of all time, and it's growing and growing each and every day. Talking about my man, J.R. Bain, and Champ from the Port. Players, you better take a listen to them, and if you don't, I'll have J.R. Bain and Champ put them in a tag team match, and it's going to be a lot of trouble.
Indeed. Hello, hello, and good day to you all, man, on this fantabulous Sunday, right? Superb Sunday. And we're getting ready to talk about wrestling. But before we do, I don't want nothing to distract y'all from the fact that the First Black Champ podcast told you first. You know, I'll show myself a little love, specifically me, because I just saw Sami Zayn win a match against Aleister Black with the Blue Thunder Bomb. We can talk about it because this is where you talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. It is time for the First Black Champ podcast. And I'm still your podcast intercontinental champion, Hacksaw Slim Duggan on you hoes, tough guy, Camp from the Port.
And I definitely caught that. Make sure you write, rate, like, subscribe, download to the Barber Shed Network, home of First Black Champ. I am J.R. Bang. Make sure you follow us on everything, the FBCPOD. Yeah. Make sure you go ahead and get that merch. Make sure you subscribe, all of that stuff. Great show planned for you today, because next week the WWE is headed to good old Australia.
Yeah, mate.
Australia. You know, to Perth, for Crown Jewel.
Yeah, formerly known as Saudi Mania.
Yeah, formerly, yeah. You see how they do it. You see, he's like, hey, we're going to move that down there. We're going to move that down there. And then what we're going to do from there is then we just going to go ahead and do the Saudi stuff, all that. Yeah, we see y'all, WWE. Mm-hmm. We see y'all. But, no, Barbershed Network, talk about all sports. Would be remiss to tell you that currently right now on the NFL Network, Minnesota versus Cleveland in the London games right now, it is a 7-7 tie. I am pissed right now because Quetson Jenkins just, you know, he had ran about a 60-yarder, and he's on my fantasy team, and I also have him on my parlay today, and they called that back because of two offensive penalties.
Right. Ooh, now. Yikes.
So I am pissed right now.
But hey, you know, still more game. He might get another breakaway, maybe for like 40.
I hope so, because definitely need to win these joints right there. So we'll keep y'all in tune on what's going on in the game. Plus, do what we do, talk about that wrestling and really getting right to it. Crown Jewel Perth is going on the 11th, so next Saturday. And a pretty decent card. Because when you look at this is kind of taking the place in a way of Night of Champions. You do have the two main champions that fight for the Crown Jewel Championship, a real big fancy belt that they don't carry around, but only the night that they win it. Mm-hmm. We have sort of a double retirement match. Or people that will be retiring very soon. You got to put Rhea Ripley on the card if you're in Perth. Can't have her not on this card. What are we doing right here? Mm-hmm. And then a couple of tidbits that happened during the week. So actually, let's start with Rhea Ripley and Io Sky versus the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane. How invested are you in this match?
You know, I'm actually... If I had to give on a scale of 10, probably like a 7, to be a 7. I'll be honest. Hey, look, I tweeted this out, and I do want to express this on our platform. I thought they were giving these ladies a little too much TV time until these agents start acting their ass off. They actually killing this. Hey, English is sounding crisp. Then they got the subtitles going on as well. Like, it's almost like your favorite kung fu flick right now. So I'm actually not mad at this. And even though I got this ending how I expect it to end, like a lot of these situations end, but I'm still invested to see what this does to Rhea Ripley specifically. I think this crown jewel is going to result into a lot of character changes or resets. That's my overall arcing prediction. Matter of fact, it's low-key my guarantee for this week, but we'll get to that in a moment as we go through the card. But yeah, seven. I'm at a seven right now.
I'm about a seven with you. I'm right there with you. A couple of the reasons why is because of Kairi Sane, actually. To see her as the scared one is wild to me, because she's the one that I feel like is mostly the daredevil.
Yeah, and she putting in work too.
Yeah, but it'd be funny when she'd be looking at EO like, come on, man. Then they're like, yay! You know, that shit be having me rolling. Let me just say that. I like mean Asuka. I don't like Asuka when she's a face. I like my Asuka that's ready to tear the roof off in any way, shape, or form possible with whoever she is going against. So there's that piece right there. The only reason why it's not higher, there's literally only one reason why it's not higher.
What's that?
And that's because I don't like this version of Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
I get it. I understand it. But this ain't my cup of tea when it comes to her. I like my Rhea Ripley that is the tweener that don't care about anybody. And she's caring a bit too much for me, for what Io, especially somebody she has not beaten, thinks, right? Now, I do have a caveat to it, though.
What's that?
And my caveat is, hey, man, you ain't been able to beat Shorty. You ain't been able to beat Shorty at all. So maybe, just maybe, you are using this to get what you need to do to, I mean, I guess get EO on your good graces and all of that stuff. And then next thing you know, you beat her.
Mm-hmm.
That is literally the only thing that I could think of outside of it being in Australia. I mean, of course, it's in Australia. So outside of it being in Australia, that is the only thing that is like, all right, you know what? I get it. All right, cool. But outside of that, I'm not really a fan of Rhea Ripley really caring. But outside of that, I do love it, because I do think when you look at the wrestlers on this roster, you're looking at on this card in general. And this is not to demean. Let me just say this, y'all. This is not to demean Tiffany Stratton. But with Rhea, Kairi, Io, Asuka, Steph, you're dealing with five of the best talent on this roster.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And she should be okay with that.
Yeah, and since you're dealing with that, it's like, I bet we're gonna get some good women's wrestling on this card, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you 100%. And obviously, you know, there's this aspect, because she is the champ. I mean, she do got to step it up, but no, she should know the landscape of just wrestling and be like, yeah, you know what? I'm not necessarily top five at the craft right now, even in the organization that I'm in. So yeah, and that should be more of a reason for her to show out this coming weekend.
Now, with that being said, who's going to win?
So, for me, I got the Kabuki Warriors winning with Rhea Ripley taking a horrendous beat down in her hometown. By all three of them, though. I think, even though, like, this is all cool. This is cool and all with the whole, oh, we're friends now because I beat you. No, yeah, cool. But Rhea Ripley's entrance doesn't match her persona now. Everything about her aesthetic and how she gets to the ring has nothing to do with the character that she is playing in the ring right now. So now she got to lose another friend, or she got to lose somebody else she got respect for, her family and all that. Just like the Judgment Day, just like Dirty Dom, all of it, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, all of it's got to come crumbling down because Rhea Ripley's character is based off of excelling with a chip on her shoulder and being alone. And we need to get back to that. So I got her losing this match because those three women are going to beat her down at the crib and she can spend the rest of the day just celebrating with the family. And then we got to regroup when we get back to Raw.
So I do have the Kabuki Warriors winning as well. But similar to what our man Bruce Pritchard would say, Hogan must pose, Rhea must pose.
Nah, okay.
So while the Kabuki Warriors will win, and I don't have a turn with Io. Don't have a turn with Io. But while the Kabuki Warriors will win, Rhea Ripley will save the day, and she gets to pose and do all of the Rhea Ripley stuff at the end of the match to save face and give the fans what they are looking for.
Okay.
Let's move on to the single match that I affectionately call Here. Damn. Y'all want it? Y'all got it. Mm-hmm. John Cena, AJ Styles. Is it a foregone conclusion that Cena's going to win this?
Yeah, it is. Especially with the way this match is set up. This is, again, we got to have some kind of notable moment in the John Cena retirement run. And since AJ is not the homegrown product, I don't see him going over just because in the fourth quarter over John Cena, who we're going to see maybe four more times. And we don't even know those four more times will definitely be wrestling because they've already booked his last match date. So, yeah, I got John Cena. But great moment for two of the legends of this millennium. You know what I'm saying? Because the 2000s is where they both got their start, and 2020s is where they will see their end. But yeah, AJ wins are going to be coming next year. Next year. We got you, bro. Next year.
I have AJ winning.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm going to take, I am going to take a stab here, a shot in the dark, not a guarantee prediction or anything like that, but I just can't see this is something as simple as a here damn match. Mm. I saw a clip on social about their Royal Rumble match and how they didn't go outside and how they felt like they have so much chemistry together and all of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if this was, we're going to do this match. Cena's going to win. I get that. But I feel like they ain't going to let this match happen without Brock Lesnar coming out and costing Cena this match. Yeah. I beat you. I'm going to make you look like a hoe until this retirement tour thing is over with. It sets the tone potentially of his last match in Washington, D.C. at Saturday night's main event, being against Brock Lesnar and finally getting over the hump. So that's why I have Brock Lesnar costing John Cena the match, and then AJ looking like, oh, damn, I bet. And then he getting F5 too.
I mean, hey, you know, anything Brock Lesnar involved is disgusting me. But I can't say that you're wrong. But as long as it doesn't end with a triple threat match, Saturday night's main event for John Cena's last match, I guess I'll be semi-okay with it.
Oh, yeah, no, AJ in and out. Only reason why AJ here is because of the fans. That's the only reason why he's here.
For sure.
Fans. That's it.
For sure.
Moving on to Stephanie Vaquer, Tiffany Stratton, the Women's World Heavyweight Champion on Raw versus SmackDown for the WWE Women's Crown Jewel Championship. The first one is Liv Morgan, who won it last year. I think it was in Saudi. Yeah, it was in Saudi for that joint. We've seen some interaction with Julia and the Nubian Queen, Kiana James. They, you know, faced off. Only all three of them have belts. Well, three and a manager, so to speak. Right. Good to see them get Julia involved in this some type of way. And I think Kiana James, the Nubian Queen, is very underrated. I think that injuries has kept her from really being able to show what she needs to show. But she's been training, it looks like, with Charlotte Flair and everything. And, yeah, so I think once they let her really get her joints off after, you know, she did have ACL injury, I won't say sky's the limit, but I could see her having a real good run on the main roster. But, of course, all roads lead to Saturday, with the Crown Jewel Championship for the women. So do we give it to the blonde or do we give it to the Chilean?
Yeah, definitely the Chilean or Chilean out there for everybody that love accents and all of that, right? But Stephanie has the hot hand this year. You know what I'm saying? I think she's probably made the most of Bianca Belair being gone and Rhea Ripley being a face, as well as Liv Morgan being out. You know, I think she's made the best use of her time. And speaking of time, the whole Tiffy time thing, I think, is kind of come and gone. And either Tiffany Stratton is going to give us a performance to be like, okay, yo, we tripping, we sleeping on her. Or she's going to confirm that, no, this is really Stephanie's year. And you got to go back to the drawing board just a little bit. Because it's unfair to say, I want to say that off the rip, it's unfair to, be so harsh on Tiffany Stratton, because she's literally doing every single thing that got her to the belt. She ain't changed a minute. The booking for her and the whole, oh, let's try to build her and Jade Cargill up at the same time, I don't think that did her any favors. The Charlotte Flair thing didn't do her any favors. I'm just hoping that there is a better run after Perth, no matter what happens. But I do got Stephanie taking this match.
Hey. I gotta yell at kids real quick.
I already see what that was.
Gotta yell at kids real quick. Look, this is nothing against Tiffany Stratton. I rock with Tiffany Stratton, but I don't necessarily, I've said this before, and I think I might need to stop saying this because I think I've done it enough. I don't think the WWE did right by Tiffany Stratton during this run. It's not about who she went against, because she went against names. I just don't think it was booked correctly. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's the issue here. I don't think it's been necessarily booked correctly to make Tiffany look strong. Stephanie Vaquer was strong before she even got the belt.
Yeah.
She is the queen of the ring. I mean, she could have been the queen of the ring winner. Yeah. But she was strong. She was strong enough that she didn't need that.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't need, really need the battle royal. When we think about it, since she came on the main roster with both the NXT Women's Championship and the North American Championship, she's looked strong, or just as strong as every champion on that roster.
Mm-hmm.
We thought she was going to win Queen of the Ring. That went to Jade Cargill. We saw what happened with Jade Cargill. Mm-hmm. When it came to that belt, because that's why Tiffany's going through what she's going through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still looks strong coming off of that. She wins that battle royal. She was supposed to go up against Naomi. Naomi gets popped.
Mm-hmm.
We knew she was going to beat Io Sky. And the fact that we knew she was going to beat Io Sky says a lot, because Io Sky was the champion at WrestleMania who lost the championship. Mm-hmm. She wasn't the champion, excuse me. She was trying to get the title back after losing the belt to Naomi and the Money in the Bank thing.
Yeah.
Which we also thought that it was either between her and Stephanie.
Yeah.
We only thought two people were going to win that Money in the Bank, Stephanie or Naomi.
Yeah.
So for all of those things to happen, she don't win Queen of the Ring. She don't win the Money in the Bank. She still consistently looks strong. She wins the Battle Royal. The Battle Royal and her going to Clash of Paris to go up against Naomi was literally the only time we was like, I don't know if she's going to win this one. I don't think they're going to take the belt off of Naomi that quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then she go up against Io Sky and they're like, sorry, y'all. Stephanie Vaquer, if she does not win this Crown Jewel Championship, what was the point?
Yeah, no, for sure.
What was the point?
To make it more a societal question, a universe question for you. Well, with the exception of one, is the blonde white woman working in wrestling today in 2025? Is the white blonde working? I'm giving one exception to the rule. I think we know who it is. But outside of that one, is it over right now, or at least temporarily, for the blonde white woman in wrestling?
Yeah, that's an amazing ass question. I'm gonna say yes.
Hey.
Liv Morgan is the only person that has worked for.
That is it. And she surrounded herself with Mexicans and Irish people.
Yes. I think that is, yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow, yes. Because here's what I'm thinking as you ask that question. If Charlotte Flair was to say today she's done, Tiffany Stratton is going to take place. But then who takes Tiffany place? Then go look at NXT.
Yep. Hey, listen.
Go look at NXT and tell me who is in this. So y'all know, y'all, this is not meant to be racist. This is not meant to be racial. I know these are two black guys that's talking about this. We good over here. What I'm saying is, there is one. Let me say that there is one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to mention her today.
Okay.
But I just don't know if they're going to pull that trigger with her.
Mm.
That's Sol Ruka.
Hey, yeah. Hey, look. Them two. Liv. And so that's it.
So y'all know I don't count Jordynne Grace in this. And I know she's blonde. I don't count Jordynne Grace in this. I don't count Nikita Lyons in this. In fact, I don't know why she's on the roster.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, Dame, Jordynne Grace.
Yeah, Izzy Dame. I'm not sure. Fallon Henley is a favorite of mine. No.
Yeah.
I'm tweaking. There's two.
Okay.
But I don't even know what they're going to do with her, if they're going to do her right. Mm-hmm. And let me apologize, NXT viewers and wrestling viewers, because she actually should have been the first person I said. But I see more potential in them doing that with Sol Ruka than they do with Blake Monroe.
Blake
Monroe, a.k.a. Mariah May, has star written on her. I'm only afraid to when she gets to the main roster, how Triple H and them going to use her.
Exactly. Hey, man. Now, and then, no disrespect to this lady, because I mean, she is a talent, but they might have Tori Wilson something like that.
But see, that's where I was going to go. And it's not even Tori Wilson. Blake Monroe ain't Charlotte Flair.
Yeah.
And that's when you look at Charlotte Flair and you look at Sol Ruka, the similarities are there as far as athleticism, build, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I can definitely see Blake Monroe being a star. I just don't know what they're going to do with that. But when you say let's slot, like they do in wrestling,
mm-hmm.
let's slot this person in this person's slot because they similar.
Mm-hmm.
Go look at Roxanne Perez and Bayley. Go look at Becky Lynch and Lyra Valkyra.
Mm-hmm.
Go look at Mercedes Moné and Naomi and Bianca, and go look at the trough of black women that's in NXT right now, killing it.
Yeah.
And who's Charlotte Flair's replacement?
Yeah, it's unfortunately it ain't. It's Sol Ruka is the closest to me, just because at least they clipping her up, and everybody is kind of excited to see what she does next. Jordynne Grace, and I know people probably think, like, man, y'all bugging, man. Jordynne Grace, obviously. I was like, no, and I'm going to tell you why. And it has nothing to do with wrestling or anything. Jordynne Grace, unfortunately, won't get over the hump because white boys are disrespecting her with the slander more and worse than they do black women.
I'll go farther, because I think Jordynne Grace is going to be okay. But when about the Charlotte Flair slot.
Yeah.
When we're talking about the Charlotte Flair slot, Blake Monroe don't have the spot moves that Sol Ruka got.
Mm-hmm.
Jordynne Grace is a power wrestler. She more of Beth Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the Beth Phoenix lane. She's bringing that back, which we need that. We ain't got the power woman in the WWE, on the WWE roster right now is Raquel Rodriguez and Nia Jax. And they shouldn't. Raquel should be just your big woman, your Diesel, your Kane, your Undertaker. It takes a lot for me to get off the ground. And Nia Jax, I'm not sure about her no more. I'm just not. Yeah. I'm just not. She's Big Show now to me.
Yeah, her run might be done, unfortunately.
Yeah, she's Big Show to me. Right, she's gonna come in, she's gonna do some stuff, she's gonna scare you, and then after a while, you can be like, ah, whatever.
Yeah,
Jordynne Grace comes from the Beth Phoenix school.
Yeah, she blonde, or what if she dyed her head red? What you think it,
No. No matter where it is, blonde, like that damsel in distress, or I'm that bitch, one or the other. Jordynne Grace is not that. She's the I will powerbomb you no matter what. Mm-hmm. I will slam you no matter what. That's why she comes from the Beth Phoenix school.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Right?
That's what. But when you look at the spots that Sol Ruka do, that's Charlotte Flair. I'm going to moonsault off the top rope. I'm going to moonsault off the top rope to the ground. I have spectacular spot moves inside of the ring. I am blonde. I am slender. Athletic background. So Ruka comes from surfing. Charlotte Flair comes from volleyball. Only thing that Sol Ruka ain't got is the world famous dad that was 16-time world champion.
Mm-hmm. But as a blonde, is she going to win in 2026?
Yeah, because I can say right now, they already putting on the spot. I just want to specifically say what I'm talking about when we talking about blonde. Like, there's your damsel in distress, or there's your I'm that bitch. Tiffany Stratton replaces Charlotte. Who replaces Tiffany Stratton? That's Sol Ruka. because Tiffany Stratton is the same thing. Athletic background. I was a gymnast.
Well,
I got work done.
No, I get you. I guess where I come from is I don't think Tiffany Stratton has successfully replaced. Even though I felt the trajectory was there, and it still is. I shouldn't talk like it's over because obviously she has a lot more time. But I don't think that lane. What I'm really saying here, in the midst of all of this, is that do the fans care about the lane anymore? That's what I'm trying to say.
The white men 18 to 34 gonna care. They are gonna care. They gonna want one. That's why somebody's just gonna be put in that spot.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
If they just don't earn it, Tiffany Stratton has it right now. Like right now, Charlotte Flair's. Here's the best part about all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss will be going up against Sol Ruka and Zarya.
Mm-hmm.
It's Friday, solidified that. They will be going up against each other.
Mm-hmm.
The two that are a match will be going up against each other. And you better believe that Triple H is going to be looking at that match like this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I see. Similar similarities. Because Sol Ruka might be the most electrifying when it comes to the moveset woman on NXT. And you bring that finisher onto the main roster. Let's just say, let's throw this out for shits and giggles, Kemp. Let's just say, for instance, that Sol Ruka and Zarya defeat Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair for the women's championship, tag team championships.
Mm-hmm.
The way that it's done from Sol Ruka will be way more exciting than it will for anybody else when the finishing move is enacted. If Charlotte Flair runs up and Sol Ruka jump on that top rope and hit her ass with that cutter, the whole crowd gonna be like, yo!
Yeah. That move is hard too, at any angle.
And that's going to be the When a Star is Born moment. Just like when Charlotte would do that moonsault, or when she would do the figure eight,
because
it's electrifying. The figure eight is an extension of her dad move. She lift up in that joint and everybody tapping. She did it. Excitement. Ain't nothing exciting about it compared to the other women. There's nothing exciting about Alexa Bliss doing the Twisted Bliss or the Bray Wyatt joint. And Zarya, dope, but she's not like, okay, boom. Just do that flip, cut her, Sol Ruka, get the belts. Hey, we did it. We taking these bitches back to NXT. Now y'all got to come down there.
I dig it.
But when you go down the list, though, as I was going, Blake Monroe is the only other person. And the what you can add to that is she's European. So you can even add to your point, the white American blonde blue-eyed girl. And to even add to that, nah, I don't think it mattered, because I think if it mattered, the WWE would invest in it more.
Mm.
Man, I don't think that they have in the way that they probably could have. I think once people leave, you will see some elevation, because you got Lainey Reed that's down there. You got Izzy Dame and Fallon Henley, but Fallon Henley is currently linked up with JC Jane, and there's rumors that that Lainey Reed will be joining that group. Kendall Gray, excuse me, she's in Evolved, so she's not ready for the NXT roster right now. And again, I don't put Nikita Lyons and I don't put Jordynne Grace in that category, even though they blonde, because they're a different style of wrestler. The Beth Phoenix, and here's the best explanation of that before we move on. Beth Phoenix was a power wrestler. She was not a damsel in distress. She was a damn. I can't believe y'all won.
Facts.
I can't believe Melina beat her. But shit, did you see how she folded Melina like a pretzel? This is the same woman that was in the Royal Rumble.
Uh-huh.
She can power slam a man. Uh-huh. Jordynne Grace could power slam a man. Uh-huh. Nikita Lyons could juke on a man. Like, but when you look at some of these other women, Charlotte gets a lot. This is no disrespect to her talent. This is just saying that when you have your dad, that Charlotte Flair and Ric Flair mixed up, you and your dad mixed up, like part of your legacy started with your dad. And we was like, yo, she's athletic. She came in first match. I think she won the Divas Championship or some shit or whatever. Like, you came in winning.
Yeah.
The only difference between Charlotte and others is that we never saw her as the damsel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what might be dying. What might be dying is that superhero blonde hair, blue-eyed woman. What might be leaving is the Trish Stratuses of the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's the ones that are leaving. And
yeah, because Trish ain't even blonde no more.
Yeah, right, yeah. Like, she ain't even lying no more. You know what I'm saying? She get in the ring, she'd brighten it up for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I think those are the ones, those all-American Supergirl-type joints, them done. And them white guys, 18 to 34, they know what they like. They want a little grunge. They want a little grunge in there. They want a little sass. They want all of that. They want the girl that they could take to the frat party. You know what I'm saying? No, they want all of that. That's what they want, right? I don't think that they want that girl next door.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be the best way of putting it. I don't think they want the girl next door no more. I think they want that one that's a little dirty. They don't want Christina Aguilera first album. Well, they want Christina Aguilera's second album. They want X-Tina. They don't want Christina. They want X-Tina. They want Redman and Rockwilder, Christina Aguilera. I don't know if they want, you know, in a bottle. Yeah, I don't think they want that. I don't think they want Britney Spears' first album.
That's data. Yeah.
So look, we can turn anything live. We trying to tell y'all, we turn anything. We just turn this shit to a TRL episode real quick. Like, who's the Jessica Simpson? Who's the Britney Spears? Who's the Mandy Moore? Who's the Christina Aguilera? Like, them, I think they second, third albums. I think they looking for the second, third album versions of them. They're not looking for the intro, you know?
For sure.
They're looking for they lost their virginity versions of these women. Okay. Let's not go off the rails real quick. Hey, Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes for the Crown Jewel Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Let me first say these promos have been spectacular. These callbacks have been spectacular. Mm-hmm. Cody Rhodes gifting Seth Rollins a watch, and he finally wore that bitch. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, stuff like that. Haven't really seen the Vision, be really involved. They teased involvement, but they ain't really been involved. I mean, of course, I believe that's going to change. Come Saturday. Mm-hmm. But what are your thoughts on this feud, renewed feud?
I like it, and it feels fresh, you know. Usually by this point, I am done seeing whoever the two contestants are or opponents are wrestle, but I actually want to see this match because they are doing a really good job of telling a new story, even though it's an old story. And I'm here for that. I think this level of care, you know, as much as we were talking even just last week about, man, how we hate what happened with Drew McIntyre and with Damian Priest and how they left that feud, right? We aren't the most impressed. We aren't the most happy with that. But I'll tell you what, when I thought, Every time I think I'm sick of Cody versus Seth, they give me a new reason as to why I should care again. And damn it, they've done it a fourth time, actually. Because even though, WrestleMania, it still counts as one, the return match for Cody, because, well, I did. I won't speak for anybody else. I learned that, oh, they really didn't like each other back in the day, and they got the scraping. And I was like, oh, shit, so this is kind of cool. And Seth put him over at WrestleMania. Okay, cool. And then we get into the rest of it. But this is what this year needed. A storyline that you can care about from two of the current stars of today that really do feel like it's going to define the year of like who were the top guys, and it was undisputed in wrestling, the whole entire wrestling world. And obviously Cody and Seth are two of those guys.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head. Every time I feel like they dragging onto something, they put some new elements in it. And make no mistake about it, a lot of this is because of the two guys that we see going up against each other in the history that they do have. I was ready to be like, here we go. But they have re-engaged into this where I don't mind seeing what I'm seeing, even though it's a champions versus champions, night of champions type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. But it also gets me more engaged about what's next for both. Because it's clear to me, and let me know if I feel like this is the first time I'm going to ask you this. Let me know if this guarantee that I'm about to drop is off base. Seth has to win. Seth will win. Seth will not win clean. He should win clean. I think it would be great for Seth to win clean, but I don't think he's going to win clean because I think Randy Orton is going to cost Cody Rhodes the Crown Jewel Championship, which leads into a feud that goes into the rest of 2025.
You know, I don't think that's not super off base at all, because we have the same thing happening. We have the same thing happening, which is Seth winning the match because he has to. I have been trying to figure out Randy Orton's involvement. I'm kind of on the other side of the fence here because, to a degree, I kind of like the aspect of Cody losing this match, Randy Orton getting there too late, and then Cody attacking Randy Orton, because it's like, dude, this is the third or fourth time we're supposed to be fam. I thought you cared about me. Thought you wanted to see me win. Like, but every time you just seem to be a little too late. And I'm getting my ass beat out here. So low key, I got my low key guarantee is I got Cody losing this match and flipping on Randy Orton. But the cool thing about that story is, hell, this is the ultimate lesson that Randy Orton's been teaching Cody Rhodes his whole career. Like, bro, why are you touching everybody? Why are you everybody's friend? Did you not see what happened to me with Evolution? Did you not see this? What about Legacy? Did you not see how that went? So
you have Cody being, I guess, turning heel.
Yeah. Yeah. And because, again, I love the aspect of, I love when Seth Rollins or Drew McIntyre play Thanos. And it's like, look, it look bad what I'm doing, but I'm really destroying everything so you can really see what it is out here. And the thing that Seth and Drew McIntyre have been doing is like, yo, y'all really mess with Cody like that? That's y'all man's? Like, he's just the American Nightmare, but he's a great guy though, right? He's great. A guy with Nightmare in his name. That's the guy, right? And I like the aspect of Cody really turning into a nightmare for everybody. In the quest to keep his title, because he's going to keep his title. Like, he's going to get in and out of Perf as the champ no matter what happens. And also, I've been very consistent with this. It's time for Cody. If you're going to pick an opponent, I want you to go in attack mode over it. Not just on some, yo, man, I see what you're doing up there. You're doing great. I'm going to offer you a promotion. You get to wrestle me at the next PLE. I'm tired of that. Put somebody on offense.
So basically, Cody just gets tired and just says, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
I just lost to Seth. Mm-hmm. I don't lose to Seth. You got all these dudes out here. You ain't helped me. Mm-hmm. Now I'm about to hold your ass.
Yep.
And not only am I going to hold you, I am going to challenge you to a match and beat your ass.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Here's why I disagree with you. And I just saw Hood's joint because I was actually reading Mark Sanchez beating up a 69-year-old man against Stabbow.
See, wildin'.
That was 69. He dude's 69. Like, what the hell was wrong with Mark Sanchez?
Now he got what he came for. See?
Yeah. If we're going to get into the Jey Uso thing in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But if you turn Cody heel, who's the top babyface? Roman? I think right now, if you want me to be real,
mm-hmm.
I don't think the WWE really truly know who they want to be heel and who they want to be face outside of Cody Devontae Rhodes.
Now see, for me, I looked at Hood's question. I'm like, man, I think we're underestimating the people that got there without even trying. Like, hey, we can't forget Seth Rollins was the top babyface until Cody's music hit at WrestleMania. Like, that's what happened. Then CM Punk came back. Then John Cena said, I'm retiring. They've already got enough babyfaces to generate the revenue for the fourth quarter already. It's already good. So now you got those three off rip. And then, because I think it's always been an argument, Bianca Belair was the top face in the company for one of these years. And so was Rhea. And without trying, I think that top baby face in this particular pocket of time, it don't look like what we used to it looking like. The top baby faces were void of an edge for a while. They even tried to soften up, pause if necessary, Steve Austin for his like face run. But because of Austin and The Rock even, and Chris Jericho, I'll even give Chris Jericho his respect. There's been a new way to be the top babyface. And I understand that Cody might be resonating the most with the young little kids. The teenagers, the 20s and the 30s still resonate with Seth, Punk, Roman, Bianca, and Rhea. And that is enough. Sometimes you can have a runaway baby face, but they got the Avengers now. There's somebody for everybody to super stand over. And we ain't had that where you could super stand over five people and it be justified. We haven't been in that era until like right now.
Well, one, thanks for Jonathan Hood for joining the show for a little bit. You know,
for sure.
We know he be doing his show with the mothership, which is, you know, Pro Wrestling Nation busted open. But we ain't never been invited to. There's just a whole lot of white people over there and like him. You know I'm looking dead at him in the camera. No, I'm just joking around. But here's my problem with the WWE right now. And I can't believe I'm saying this because I'm a heel guy, not a face guy, of course. Mm-hmm. There's just too many heels and tweeners. Mm. As you said, somebody wants to be a bad guy. Somebody got to want to be a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somebody got to want to be the person that shake hands and kisses babies. It's too many tweeners, and it is too many bad guys. Like, even transitioning, so, well, before we even transition, just want to make it clear, you have Cody, Cody losing, so you have Seth, I have Seth too, correct?
Yep, except I got Seth winning and Cody flipping out on Randy Ifrit, yeah.
My issue is even as they talk about the potential of Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton, it's just too many goddamn heels. It's so many. This is not Hulk Hogan era heel time, ladies. Like, I don't need somebody turning heel just to wrestle Hulk Hogan. I don't need somebody just to turn heel just to wrestle Cody. Like, there's just too many.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let somebody be a heel for a little bit, and yeah. Then they go. Like, I mean, if we want to go through the Hulk Hogan being a heel type of situation, we can. You know what I'm saying? But, mm-hmm. But we won't in this situation. Let's look at the WrestleManias. We won't count WrestleMania 1. We'll go straight to WrestleMania 2 because they singles matches. Mm-hmm. King Kong Bundy was already a heel. He was already a monster heel. Andre the Giant, they turned him face. WrestleMania 4, that was a tournament. WrestleMania 5, they turned Macho Man heel. WrestleMania 6, face versus face. WrestleMania 7, like, they turned Sergeant Slaughter into a heel.
Mm-hmm.
But the only person that was already bad and they just made him badder was King Kong Bundy.
Yeah.
Sid Justice came in as a face. Then he turned heel. Like, I got to turn on you in order for the people to care? No. Build a heel. Have that heel whoop people ass for a while. And then he finally get to you. And it ain't got to be like the monster heel. Like, just be a bad guy. Like, yo, I'm wrestling this bad guy. Randy Orton and Cody, I know they got history. But that history to me is big enough that you don't do that at the one-off. Like, you better do Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton for the rest of the year. Don't just do that shit at Survivor Series and then we just turn somebody else heel to face him. No. That shit better go on for the rest of the year and go into 2026. Mm-hmm. Because Randy Orton ain't just some Rudy. Like, Randy Orton ain't just some regular ass nigga. They got history, right. And Randy Orton better win. Like, let me just, all right, we gonna go with another guarantee hope, Kemp.
Okay.
Randy Orton wins the title at Survivor Series.
Mm. Okay.
If you do this shit and Randy Orton only touches the title when he drops Cody Rhodes and he pick it up and look at it, that's the only time he touched the title. That's bullshit.
Facts.
Randy Orton, if we gonna do this, if Randy Orton turns heel on Cody Rhodes, the only way this works is if Randy Orton turns heel on him next Saturday. They get to the Survivor Series. He defeats him at Survivor Series. And we all looking like, damn, the homie defeated him. He also, I believe, ties Ric Flair for number 16. Mm-hmm. He ties somebody. It's either Triple H or Ric Flair. One of them. I can't remember it. Yeah. But he ties somebody. So he gets his tie. He holds that belt. And he holds that belt to the Royal Rumble, and Cody gets it back at the Royal Rumble. Let Cody chase him. If you just, Cody just beats him, he did it, he got through the hump, and he continues to do it. This is bullshit. And if I'm Randy Orton, fuck this shit. My back been hurting. I was supposed to get that shit a couple of years ago during the goddamn pandemic. My back hurt. Shit, I got up to 300 pounds. No, let's shit. I'm around here swole. I'm out here having matches with goddamn Jelly Roll and Logan Paul and Drew McIntyre and all of these people.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all know the history here. I need my run. I need my short transitional run. Cody Rhodes needs to lose the belt to Randy Orton at Survivor Series. I stand on that.
I'm not mad at that. And that's and even going to Marley's take here on the. He don't think Cody will turn heel because of the failed Cena heel turn. But see, I again, and maybe, and we might be the odd podcast out, but I think Cody Rhodes is just a greater heel than he is a face. And I think the merch is still going to go. However, though, to Banks' point, there has to be a moment, especially if we're going to care about Cody Rhodes, the top babyface, if that is the thing to protect, right? If that is the thing, then Randy Orton definitely, not only does he need to attack him, but he does need to beat him, because we're not in the season of a John Cena where John Cena was making people superstars after wrestling him and feuding with him. Cody Rhodes has not done that for anybody yet because he's on the friends and family plan. Every time you see me, it's somebody that know my dad, love my dad, or watch me grow up, but they feel like they just want to just wrestle for me. Like, he's been having high-level exhibition matches. Let's get to the real feuds where we stop talking about the story, we stop talking about my daddy, it's strictly about this belt and why you should or should not have it, and move forward from that. That's what we need to get to. We don't care about Cody Rhodes, the top babyface, enough. And we got to stop using the excuse that kids want to buy t-shirts as a reason for why he need to keep the belt and stay a face. Because John Cena and Steve Austin, the one thing that they have in common that Cody Rhodes does not have in common with them is the fact that whether heel or face, the shirts moved. We bought the Chain Gang and we bought Austin 316. And all they did was kept changing the skull and the color outlay for Austin 316, and you kept buying the shirts. And hustle, loyalty, respect with the Chain Gang, it meant everything it meant. Until he just decided that my time is now. And no matter heel or face, whether it's my time is now or the last time is now, the shirts and the towels moved. Cody Rhodes needs to either be the superstar babyface that can actually make another star, or he better turn heel, because something else is brewing and we're going to talk about it. But a better story is already brewing without him in his company as the QB1. And he better worry about getting benched.
Well, let's go on over to Jey Uso. Jey Uso, it seems to me that the heel turn cometh. And every week it gets closer and closer and closer to it. But Roman Reigns returned after playing Akuma. So it looks like he got all of his joints off with Akuma, and he is back in interesting interaction with Jey Uso and non-interaction with Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of people that's been throwing out things. I have said, look, let me just be the first to say again that last year I said that Roman Reigns is on his high chief shit. And if he wrestles The Rock, it needs to be High Chief versus High Chief. I'm way past the Tribal Chief, but Roman Reigns said he's still a Tribal Chief, right? Mm-hmm. Some people have said that he could be Jimmy's wise man. Nah, hell no, that ain't that.
No,
and all of that stuff too. Jimmy has said, "Yo, you starting to act like Roman. Look who appears, Roman." Mm-hmm. There's been wonders about who Jimmy be talking to on the phone. Now Roman's back. Where are we going?
Okay.
Where do we need to go with this story? Because I feel like the WWE feels like they made a mistake with ending the Bloodline story. They were starting to get a little bit too NWO-ish.
Yeah.
You know, they starting to get a little bit too NWO-ish. We stepped back. Now we can redo this story. But how do we do it? Where do we do it? What do we do? What are your thoughts on this version of the bloodline turns.
Yeah. Hey, listen, well, one, I want to say, even though I get where people, what people were saying, but I think that the bloodline was the right level of NWO. And they had the one outside member. That was the IWC adding everybody Samoan or ambiguous to the bloodline. Not Paul. Yeah, Paul stopped that. Sami Zayn. Like that's that was everybody else every time MLW or New Japan and a Samoan won somewhere. Oh, he could join the bloodline next week.
Anytime one of Rikishi's kids got named. Like yeah. Anytime we found out he had a new kid that's between 25 and 35, folks was like, "Hey, new member of the bloodline."
Yeah, so whoa. So I wanted to be clear on that. That was y'all.
Do Rikishi even know this kid? Like, do Rikishi even take care of this kid? Like, does he have a relationship? Is this right. Like a Karl Malone kid type of thing? Is this like a this like a Jalen Rose daddy type of thing? Like, what is?
Yeah, man. So I felt that the bloodline story was exactly where it needed to be. If anything, and I'm not even trying to be funny or salacious at all. Like I'm dead serious, and we need to have a real talk about how my man be ruining shit. If anything, The Rock's involvement is what was causing the hangups with the bloodline, because now here he come, the high chief, and not the tribal chief, and. Like, no, like Roman took everything. What you mean you gave him? Like, no, Roman took everything. We watched it. He don't report to you. His daddy over you. So how does that work? You know what I mean? So I think that off the rip, right? But where I want the story to go, I'm glad you asked, because I had this tab pulled up. I had to make a separate window, make sure I didn't accidentally X out of this. What I want to see happen is one of my favorite childhood films, The Karate Kid. But not Daniel-san and Mr. Miyagi. Oh, no. I'm looking for John Kreese, Johnny Lawrence, and Tommy. That's what I want to see happen here. John Kreese, Roman Reigns. Hey, look. Because I like to be part-time anyway. But if you want this tribal chief bloodline shit, this is how you go get it. And that's the interaction I saw as we ended Raw. Because Jimmy on the sideline, like, wait, man, hold up. But Jay is like, yeah, nah, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm sweeping the leg. I'm smashing everybody. Like, hey, look, sweep the leg. You got a problem with that? We got to know. I don't have a problem with it. Let's sweep the leg. And what makes it so good about this is that he want to be on top. And Jey Uso, what's so great about his story and all of his involvement with all this bloodline madness is that he's seen the top, even if he was just a byproduct of the top. He watched Roman win the title. He went to try to get the title from him. Couldn't. But then still ascended himself and his brother, because they become the greatest tag team and the longest reigning tag team ever in WWE history. Then he breaks solo off the bloodline energy and win the main event at WrestleMania, the main event. But he ends up becoming main event Jey Uso, byproduct of the bloodline, wins the Royal Rumble, gets his first world title. And now no family, no edge. Out here with all the colors and the geeting, and now he ain't got shit. So now we back to the black and white. And we back because he was like, look, yeah, all this is cool. You know what I'm saying? All this with the kids and all of that. And yeah, that's cool. But no, I like when we ran shit. That's what I like. I like when we ran things around here and everybody was scared of us and people got laid down that they even looked at us crazy. That's what I like. And now I'm trying to get back to that. Jimmy on the Friends tour. But if you remember, even in The Karate Kid, sometime Tommy was like, yo, you bugging. Like, what are you doing? But when we get to the dojo and John Kreese is like, nah, hey, look, I'm training killers. I don't know what y'all here to do. Like, This ain't friendly exhibition. I want faces kicked. I want ribs broken. That's what it is. That's the vibe. Johnny was the star student because he didn't waver until the end of the tournament. And he was like, yo, like, this is what it is. Beat dude. Like, I don't care if he hurt. Kick him where he hurt. So what I see unveiling here, again, Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, coaching them up. And Jimmy's just going to have to follow suit because Jimmy's also going to learn, hey, bro, we winning. We back on top. We taking over. What, you want to be everybody friend or you want to be on top with the fam? I thought that's what we got in here to do in the first place. And this is what worked for us. You helping white people don't help us out at all. You better help the rest of these Samoans that's here that go that you see it at Thanksgiving. That's what you better help out. So I want Cobra Kai, Karate Kid vibes, John Kreese, Johnny Lawrence, and Tommy.
So I'm not mad at nothing you just said. In fact, I'm in favor of it. Here's the problem. The trick bag that the WWE has put themselves in the first place. Mm-hmm. You got the Judgment Day, heels. Mm-hmm. You got the Vision, heels. They all on the same show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They all on the same show. The only two people out of that group that I feel like has potential to be monster faces or huge faces is Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah.
And they got their own issue.
Yeah.
I see this from Division, and I see this from Bloodline OG. Mm-hmm. Roman don't like Seth. Jay don't like them two bronze. Jimmy, get along gang.
Mm-hmm.
Roman, the last time we saw him before he went to go see Akuma, he got his ass beat by the two bronze.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy saw that and was like, y'all killed my cousin. He was Kane. And them niggas killed your cousin? Nah, old dog. Them niggas killed your cousin type shit. But it's my cousin that got killed. Matter of fact, no, he was Kane. Because Kane got shot too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jay got his ass beat and lost the Fatal 4-Way that night.
Yeah.
So
R.I.P. Harold.
The way I see this as a little bit of menace to society. Roman Reigns is old dog. Jay is Kane. Jimmy is Stacy.
Yeah, because Stacy just cool.
What's the name? Chauncey?
Chauncey. Yeah.
Chauncey. They ain't got a Chauncey yet. They ain't got somebody that's just spitting knowledge. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that was Sharif.
Sharif, excuse me. Chauncey's one fuck got his ass whooped. My bad. Yeah. They ain't got a Sharif. So we got Roman as old dog. We got Jay as Kane. We got Jimmy who's Stacy. And we ain't got no Sharif yet. You need a Sharif that might talk you down the ledge. But like, man, y'all brothers tripping. You need one of those. Mm-hmm. See, the thing is that Jay, like Kane, he was on that line.
Mm-hmm.
We got to figure out what line we going to get from Jay. You want to eat with the 10-year-olds? You want to eat with Trey? Or do you want to feed the family at the end of the day? That's what Jay got to figure out. Once he figures it out, now you got to go up against the people you hate.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all don't like each other. No. Russ, the only reason why I say Stacy is Jimmy is because Stacy won't allow shit to be played in his car.
Yeah.
I think Jimmy is more Stacy than he is Sharif. in that case because he's still going to ride.
Yeah.
He's still going to ride. He just got a limit.
Yeah. Hey, Stacey got a future. He just got to get away from these niggas. Like, Stacey needs Sharif.
Right. That's what
remember, they in the car together. But right. But Sharif in the back saying, like, right, no, we're not playing this.
Right. Now, Jimmy's the driver, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy is closer to when I was saying that dude was the driver of the bloodline at that time. No, Jimmy's closer to that because they don't even acknowledge him.
Yeah.
They don't acknowledge him. Now, if you want to combine Sharif and Stacey together, all right, that's cool. All right, we could combine them, Russ. We could combine them for you.
Nah, because nobody listens to Sharif. People do listen. Jimmy gets listened to because he has a good heart. But people not listening to Jimmy because he not getting it done.
Right. Stacey, they listen to Stacey. First of all, they listen to Stacey because Stacey's bigger than everybody.
Right. Right. And Jimmy definitely strikes me as the one that was like, you know what? Hey, before we was all 21, I used to run y'all.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah. Like, I'm about to go play football, too. Like, I'm about to go to Kansas play some football. Fuck y'all talking about. Now, to get back on track, right? Hey,
Russ.
Right.
Hey, Russ. Hey, you got us there. If that happened, then you're right.
See, but no. That's why I think Jim. That's also part of the reason why I think Jimmy is Stacey. Because he's not going to get shot.
Yeah.
He's not going to get shot.
Yeah.
They going to aim at them too. They going to aim at them too. Stacy, Jimmy going to be over on Jay like, fight. 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 That's actually part of the reason why I think Jimmy is Jimmy. Jimmy has covered Jay and been like, yo.
Yeah.
Sharif ain't doing that. Sharif dead.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I look like Sharif Daddy, but that's another end point. All right? At least that's what y'all say.
The
right?
Hunt is on. You're the prey.
You're the prey. So with that being said, what I don't want, this is what I don't want. And mind you, this is my favorite faction versus one of my favorite tag teams. Mm. I don't want Four Horsemen versus Doom.
For sure. I got you.
Like, I don't want Four Horsemen versus Doom. I need somebody to be good, and I need somebody to be bad.
Sure.
See, when Doom was wrestling the Four Horsemen, that shit didn't fit to me. Mm-hmm. And they fight each other in like last man standing matches and street fights and shit. Mm-hmm. You got Butch Reed and Ron Simmons out here with tight ass jeans and shit. And you got like Arn Anderson and Ric Flair wrestling them and like jeans and shit too. You got Barry Windham coming out. I don't want these two to be two rivals that just hate each other. And there's no good, no bad. It's just four guys or five guys that hate each other. No. Mm-hmm. I need somebody to be the good guy. I need somebody, the fans that's cheering. And this is why. Seth has no business leading the Vision.
Now you've been on that.
That's Jay. Jay. How many times I can say it? Jay should be the head of the Vision for even this reason. Who's his workout partner? It's Bron Breakker. They were, come on. This is even more of the reason why I would rather Seth not be there. Jay be with Bron and them. Roman and them got to figure it out. Cody ass over there. The problem with the WWE right now, to me, is that they have squares and circles. And circles and squares. I wouldn't mind Cody being a heel if he had an equal face to go up with. That's CM Punk. But CM Punk is tied to Seth Rollins, who's tied to Roman Reigns, who's tied to Jimmy. They also got Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed that Seth is leading, and Paul Heyman is over there. Jimmy trying to figure it out. LA Knight, hates Seth. He hates CM Punk. He hates Jimmy. But he cool with Jay, but he cool with Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's not forget, we ain't seen Damian Priest since he got his ass knocked out.
Mm-hmm. And then now he pushing people in wheelchairs.
Right. Now he pushing people in wheelchairs and shit. But then also, you got Drew McIntyre connected with him in that group, who's also connected to Jacob Fatu because they wanted to fight. Because Jay was like, yo, you acting like a bitch. Jay connected to Solo, who he lost the belt to. But Solo lost the belt to Sami Zayn. And now Sami Zayn is out here doing challenges and shit. But then Solo say, I think I need one more person. So that means Tama Tonga come back? What are we doing with the Tala Tonga? And what are we doing with Cabacho? Everybody's tied together. But when we talk about it, being everybody tied together, it's really only three faces that we said in all of those names. LA Knight, CM Punk, and Cody Rhodes. Yeah. And everybody else is a heel. They don't like each other.
Yeah, yeah, that's where we are. Hey, that's the world, right? Out of 10 people you meet in your life day to day, three of them might be really genuine and positive. The rest of them, they waiting for their moment.
So that's why, while I agree with you to a point with the Cody Rhodes thing, like you going to turn him heel for Randy Orton? No, Randy Orton got to be the bad guy. Because Randy Orton is really going to be the only independent bad guy in this, if you look at it. Who are the independent heels at the top?
At the top? Ooh, see?
Nobody.
You go with the caveats.
Yeah, like, there's no independent heel. There's no heel that's not connected to none of these niggas in the way. So, I hate to say what I'm about to say in this way, but the WWE, the way they have everything set up, the way that the storylines and the writing are so convoluted, it's a whole ass party line in the WWE right now. It is a party line. I'm going over here. I hate this bitch over here, so I'm going to go over there. This bitch following me. It's like Clubhouse during the pandemic. That's what it is. You got a whole bunch of people at the top. You got a whole bunch of other people listening. And you got a whole bunch of people that it is one person just trying to lead this shit, but then it goes off the rails. It is off the rails. We need a reset. We need a clear defining heels, clear defining face. Go back old school. I know hood are like this. Go back old school. The faces ride with the faces and the heels ride with the heels. Go barbecue. I saw some shit online the other day that I was going to ask hood about. I forgot who it was. I think it was AWA. They threw a barbecue, and it was just the heels only barbecue.
That's fire. I like that.
Let's get back to that. It's too many tweeners. Y'all, it's too many tweeners. It's too many in-betweens. Stop being neutrons. Be liked or be unliked. Be a GD, be a Vice Lord. Be a Blood, be a Crip. Mm-hmm. Be something. That's why the Survivor Series is important. Heels, faces. I don't like them. Can you help me fight them? Yes. You got Dominic Mysterio that's like, yo, I'm scared to go up against Rusev. Can y'all help me? And they like, nah, we ain't gonna help you. Why the fuck are we bad guys then?
Like, you're right. Right. Like, okay, y'all, you want to fight? Y'all just.
Y'all don't want to fight. Y'all want to help me? Why are we bad guys then? Well, why? Well, I know why we bad guys. Why are you a bad guy? Well, I'm asking for help. Y'all ain't helping me. That's some face shit. What are we doing here? It's too much of that. I need clear, defined GDs and vice lords in the WWE. Define it. So then now I know who to put together. If I were to make my own little tournament, if I were to get my whole little thing on 2K, I want to know who going up against each other. I don't need a whole bunch of faces or a whole bunch of heels and it's three faces, me against the world type. Because CM Punk don't like nobody. But he connected to Roman and Seth.
Yeah.
And in the case, LA Knight, yeah. I need clear defined GDs and Vice Lords on my TV screen. Don't need that get along game shit with faces and heels. Like, nah, I need clear defined shit. Stop bullshit. Now we kind of matched the do we care shit with some of them. I just didn't necessarily say if we cared about them or not. Mm-hmm. But I do have at least one. I do have at least one in here. So, and I kind of mentioned it, but I didn't ask about it. So, do we care, the segment that y'all love? Because we talk about a couple of things and ask, do we care about it or not? Let's start with Solo saying we need just one more person. And if you look at MFT, there's really only one person missing. That's Tama Tonga, who was injured towards the end of last year. Do we care about a Tama Tonga return?
Not if it's with the MNF and team. Like, we have our, hey, look. I don't care about the MNF team at all. Right? Like, this is the, like, I don't, calling them mid is too big of a compliment, dog. We watched them lose the 1v4 to a person that was not a Giant. Like, they whack. They weak as hell. Solo was better off just wearing the street champ UFC gear and maybe having Jacob run around sometimes. Like, I've never seen somebody literally get subtraction by addition. I don't care. And I want to see Tama Tonga back, but it was more for the interaction with Jacob Fatu. So, yeah, no. I don't care who you add to the MNF team. It ain't going to work.
Yeah, I don't care either. I mean, not only do I not care, if anything, I care more about the Tongans kicking him out. I care about the Tongans realizing that they're Tongans and we don't need this Samoan over here. Let's get this Samoan out. Tell that Samoan to go over there.
You know what I'm saying?
All right?
Like, we the motherfucking team.
Yeah, like, we Haku kids. And we got Jeff Cobb. But we Haku kids. Like, I'd rather see Haku limp down and just be like, yo, these my sons. And y'all know I'll fuck somebody up. So if I fuck somebody up, you know what they'll do. That's what I care about. I do not care about MFT, especially if Solo is in there. NXT Invasion. No, it's not Invasion. NXT Showdown. They changed Invasion because there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. So folks was like, we don't think Invasion is a good word. But NXT TNA Showdown is coming up. Do you care about NXT versus TNA?
I might. I honestly might. Because it's a lot of great stars that I think any other year before, like, the pandemic, you'd be like, oh, we got to call them up. And then they get lost in the shuffle. I love this because two brands get a chance to showcase who they have without, hopefully, without us saying, yeah, they need to be on Raw. They need to be on SmackDown. They need to be on the main roster. Because I think now we're in the space where real stars are living outside of that main brand of the WWE. And I care about that because I would love to be an avid fan of another brand or organization.
I care. I like to see these things. I wish we could see it more. I like how they're doing it. I think they're doing it well. TNA or WWE is letting TNA get their joints off. Mustafa Ali had a great promo. Of going up against Ethan Page and stuff too. It's good to see some of the people come back and look better as well. It shows growth on every area. I am cool with that. I think that's about it.
Hey, real quick, Russ.
Me?
Yeah, a NWOB team was better than the MNFN team off of Scott Norton alone.
Yeah, look.
I got Scott Norton over the MNFN team off the rip.
And we got Scott Norton over Jeff Cobb. Shouts out to Japan. I think that's about it for the Do We Care pieces. Because I think a lot of things are going to take care of itself on next Saturday for Perth Crown Jewel. Mm-hmm. So y'all make sure y'all check that out. Programming updates, not this week, not this coming weekend, not the Crown Jewel weekend, but in 2 weeks we're going to be going on a 2-week hiatus because I will be working. Yeah. Fantastic Voice Cruise. So shouts out to all of the old heads that's going to be in the building. So we are going to take a little bit of a break, but that don't mean you're not going to see some content from us in some type of way. You might see us pop up, you might see us do something, but y'all make sure that y'all stay in tune as we start to finish out the year. It's the fourth quarter, we're definitely going to start talking about some of the things that we like, some of the things we didn't like, preparing for some of these pay-per-views, and you never know what might be coming. Again, shouts out to Hood for joining us, for leaving Pro Wrestling Nation and Busted Open, for chiming in. Thank you all for all chiming in as well, and that's what ends us off.
Absolutely, man. We greatly and sincerely appreciate y'all. Hey, listen, man, I'm going to keep saying it till I'm blue in the face. The First Black Champ Podcast. We are the most innovative storytellers that happen to be wrestling fans out here. And I am always going to be convinced that little things happen in the world of wrestling, specifically in the WWE, and they take it from this show. And after this week, you can't deny it again. Ever since J.R. Bang said what was going to happen to Cody Rhodes for marrying that black woman, we have been on a fiery roll every 3 to 6 months with just factual things that have happened in the world of wrestling, and it won't stop. So just hire us already. You know what I mean? Jesus. But, man, listen, thank you so much for contributing in your own way to the FBC community and the FBC stream every week. We sincerely and humbly appreciate you. And just know that if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. It's the pick with the VPDOC, Wrestling the Email, and fuck Johnny Wrestling.